Wyndham Vacation Rentals is happy to continue our support for KPCW and the Park City community. Wyndham Vacation Rentals has been in business for over 30 years in nightly vacation rentals and property management with a range of services for our owners and guests. 649-6606 or online at wvrparkcity.com.
Support for KPCW comes from the Park City Film Studios and Crandall Capital. Now open for business, the studio offers three sound stages, 45,000 square feet of meeting and event space, and dedicated truck and trailer parking, each with its own individual power hookups. Site plan, stage layout, and more at parkcityfilmstudios.com.
We're broadcasting live from Whole Foods Cafe down at Kimball Junction.
That's right. It is the 5% giving day from Whole Foods to KPCW today. So if you do your shopping here at Whole Foods, 5% of that, the net profits, will come to KPCW.
So just don't come and buy like a pound of fish. You need to buy like 30 pounds of Chilean sea bass.
Buy out the store.
You need to buy a crate. Of okay. Not just a couple of lemons. You need to buy a whole crate of lemons and limes because 5% of the net sales go to support KPCW. All right. Well, we're interviewing directors, producers of various Sundance films, and joining us right now are the directors of the documentary under the world documentary category. The film is called When Two Worlds Collide. We have directors Heidi Brandenburg and Matthew Orzel. And I'm sorry, your name?
Tyra Ekwa.
Yes. Okay, and Tyra. Well, we want to thank you for joining us this morning. First of all, give us a little thumbnail sketch about the film itself.
So the film is about a human tragedy of a bloody battle that happened in the Peruvian Amazon in 2009. And basically what happened is on the one side is the Peruvian government that wants development and prosperity in the country, and on the other hand is the indigenous people then want to fight to protect the Peruvian Amazon. And basically the story shows the political upheaval that led to a conflict, and the film basically lets the audience decide to choose for themselves.
And what's the connection for you to this particular issue or situation? What motivated you to focus on this topic for your documentary?
Whilst we were researching in Peru back in 2008, Heidi actually read an article that stated 80% of the Peruvian Amazon had been opened up to exploration and exploitation for oil and gas. We were instantly alarmed by this, and the opposition, which were the indigenous communities, were saying this is going to change our world. And with that, we decided to go and investigate for ourselves and see what was happening on the ground. And we were lucky to be taken to some of the most catastrophic areas of the Amazon. I say lucky, I meant just with very good NGOs that were working on the ground that had very, very good access to those areas. So we went in and were just shocked. It was just shocking to see. And that really kind of propelled us into investigating further and eventually finding our key character.
What were you seeing?
In the Amazon, particularly where the oil extractive industry is operating, not only do you see the oil on the ground, you can see how it's affecting the community's way of life. So, for example, there's no way of hunting because there are no live animals in those areas. They cannot fish anymore because the rivers are contaminated. They can't drink the water because it's contaminated, but yet they still do. So, you know, you see people that are very, very ill.
So everything has changed for them. Everything is their whole way of life has been altered dramatically.
Yeah, absolutely. And when
continuously.
And when we traveled into the Amazon, I mean, we didn't expect to see this, you know. And everybody, was talking about. In the end, the whole film started is because we read the article, and what happens, the Peruvian government had brought out a series of laws that basically was stripping them away, the indigenous people away from the land rights. And so everybody was, like, the indigenous people were very upset about it.
Right.
But we, you know, it's hard to understand it unless you really go there and see it for yourself, why they're upset about. And when you see that these companies go in and, you know, leave oil spills, then, of course, they don't want any more companies to come in because
right.
it is affecting their livelihood. They depend on the land, and that's the only way they can survive. So, I mean, when we saw that, that's where, like, oh, my God, nobody's talking about this, you know? They're talking about these great laws. They're going to bring in the, you know, companies in for more, like, development.
Jobs.
And of course.
Revenues,
you know, yes.
Opportunities.
Of course. And then you see this, and then, of course, it's gonna end up in an uprising. So our main character is an indigenous leader that led this protest. It was the first protest in Peruvian history. It never happened before, and they were opposing these laws that was basically stripping them away from their land rights.
Right.
All started. So, but in the end, unfortunately, after 54 days of protesting, the government wasn't paying attention. They just completely ignored them. And then they decided, oh, we're gonna, you know, they need to go back to where they come from. And so this ended up in a lot of people getting killed, and
right.
of course our main character at the time, all of a sudden he became the most wanted man in Peru. He was hunted down for sedition, conspiracy, and rebellion. He became the scapegoat, and then all of a sudden he had to flee into exile, and we were just in the middle of it trying to capture the story.
Right.
So we had no idea this was going to happen. We just ended up really, like, falling into the story. We started it exploring about destruction and contamination, but then we met this incredible leader that was very passionate about protecting the indigenous land rights, and then we started following him, and then all of this happened, the protest, and he became then the scapegoat. So this is really what really happened, and now he's facing life in prison, and
along with 52 other
I'm sorry. Well,
along with 52 other indigenous people, he's facing life in prison.
Really? So he's going on trial
for these protests.
Yes.
For the test. So people got killed on both sides. Indigenous people got killed and police. So that was a really big deal.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. with all of this in mind, did you encounter opposition when you were trying to
right.
to film this and document it? I mean, I'm sure you were there in the midst of it.
I mean, yeah, we were. I mean, we couldn't believe it. I mean, when this happened, and all of a sudden he became this most wanted man in Peru, he was propaganda all over Peruvian television that he was a terrorist, and you know, and indigenous people were savages. I mean, it was terrible. And when we heard like he's going to exile, he actually called us and said, "I want you to come with us. I want you to cover the story because I want you to tell the truth." And we thought, yeah, we want to tell the truth because this isn't fair. You know, you weren't
right.
even there. He was in Lima, in the capital city of Peru, leading this, you know, trying to talk to the government. He wasn't even where all these people got killed. So we wanted to tell his story. And then in the end, it became more of a complex story, trying to dissect it all, you know, what led to this conflict. So this is what we're showing in the film.
We're speaking with Heidi Brandenburg and Matthew Orzel, the directors of the world documentary, When Two Worlds Collide. So right now, you're saying the gentleman, Alberto Pizango?
Pizango.
He's under arrest. He's in jail. He faces life imprisonment.
He's on bail, but he has ongoing trials
okay.
that he has to go to. And they were going to call out the sentences on the 15th of this month, but they keep postponing it, so it's ongoing. We've been waiting for the trial since 2009. So
wow.
And that's just part of the trial. There's two trials.
Right.
And it just, they keep prolonging it and prolonging it. And Alan Garcia, who was the president at the time during all the protests, he's thinking of running again in April. So they could stall it until April, until the president comes back. We don't
okay.
know. Yeah.
So this film covers the time period 2009, 2010, et cetera?
2008.
So what's going on there now as far as the fossil fuel extraction, the oil businesses? Has anything changed?
I mean, so the irony on all this, after all these people got killed and Alberto is facing trial, the Peruvian government has brought out a new series of laws, after they were repealed. And it's starting all over again. So it's even worse now. It's weakening all environmental regulations in Peru. It's weakening all the indigenous land rights over there. And it's like, basically, it's waiting for something to happen.
So obviously, this story is still playing out in the real world. How do you decide when to finalize your movie and bring it to the festival this year?
I think what's happening with Alberto is very, very important. You know, he faced his life in prison. And we made the decision to stop now to try and get this story out to the international audience. People need to take notice. They need to know what's going on. And if there's any chance that he's, him and the other indigenous leaders as well, it's not just him. If there's going to be any justice, it's going to come from the outside, not the inside. And this is the reason why we decided to stop the film. But that being said, as soon as the sentences do happen, we're going to go back and film that. And it will be cut back into the film. So, we completed the film, but it's still kind of a work in progress.
Yeah. Working document.
Yeah.
Right, like a lot of... Go ahead.
It's a cliffhanger. It's always been a cliffhanger that we'd never have known what's going to happen and when to stop or when to bring it out. And like Matthew said, right now it is the perfect time because if they don't win the case now, they could all go into life in prison, including Alberto. And we're trying to get him here, but because when he was led into asylum, he was on Interpol.
Right.
And so now it's becoming very difficult to bring him here.
Sure,
to
he's restricted in his movements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that still may happen.
We're trying to get him here.
Okay.
And then also, as we said, the previous president that brought out these laws, he's running again.
This is Garcia?
Yes, that's President Garcia.
So he left office.
Yes, now he's running again.
Mm-hmm. And is the oil industry nationalized in Peru, or is there American oil companies down there?
Yes.
How's that?
Yeah. It's foreign company.
American.
It's foreign company. So there are American oil companies down there?
Yes.
So when people see this film, what can they do? Do you have recommended actions or contacts, or if they feel inspired?
Right. I mean, right now we are working on an impact strategy, so it's not quite ready. But right now we're trying to direct people to our Facebook site, When Two Worlds Collide, and we're going to start to post things to do, calls to action.
Great.
And maybe websites of interest that people are going to need to read up on and will find of interest. So that's the first, that's where we're starting.
And especially, the more people like our Facebook, the more people like the film and this film's become successful, this is going to go into Peruvian headlines in the media. And people are going to be, what's happening? Well, with this film, nobody's heard about this film and now it's coming out in Peru. And then this is how change happens. And the people themselves living in Peru can take action after watching the film. Mm-hmm.
Will it be shown in Peru?
That's what we're aiming
to
do.
Hopefully.
Before
the elections.
Right. Before the elections.
I mean, that's the plan.
Yeah.
Is this your first environmental documentary?
Yes.
It's our first documentary.
What?
Feature film.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Have you been to Sundance before?
We came here as fellows in 2011.
Okay.
And
we're back.
Yeah, we're back, and now it's a film.
So, how many hours? We're always curious about how many hours are involved in the cutting room floor and the editing. Like, how much time does it take? Because you must have miles of footage.
So just to give you a little bit of an idea of how long we've been shooting, we started investigating in 2007. We started development work in 2008, so that's kind of when we started shooting. We found the story in 2009, and we've been filming up until last year. So there's a lot of material. We've got almost 8 terras of material. So when we came to the edit room, luckily we've been working with a fantastic editor called Carla Gutierrez. that really pulled all that material together to cut. Well, we've got a 100-minute film.
Yeah.
But we were cutting like over at least almost, 1.5 years,
yes,
right?
Yeah, at least almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not kidding.
We believe you. That seems to be the standard, if not. There's a lot of time that goes in, and there's a lot of material that has to be left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
A lot of sub-stories or side stories that you wish you had time to also highlight. So, well, that's an amazing story.
It's a love project from the heart. I mean, we really sticked together. I mean, it was very difficult, for sure.
Was it hard to kind of keep up the energy and the motivation to make it happen? Did you ever just think, like, oh, let's let this go?
Well, here my dear friend Tyra, who is also the producer, we were cheering up Matthew, like, we can do this, you know.
It's a roller coaster.
We went
right?
running along, you know, along the beach, you know, like trying to find motivation. So, yeah, I mean, we...
And filming, like we asked Josh, filming in the Amazon's got to be just a challenge in itself.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So talk a little bit about how difficult it is just to get in there with equipment and people.
Without ruining your cameras.
And not come out with... exotic diseases.
Matthew has a really nice story. I mean, we both almost crashed, literally, because when you travel inside the Amazon, you don't take big planes. It's like these really tiny little three-seat planes that are almost made out of paper. So if you do take off and there's a storm, and there's rain, then, you know, there's no, like, navigation system automatic.
High risk.
Yeah, very high risk. One day
and carrying lots of equipment.
And then it's like, you know, it's the hiking into the Amazon for hours on end. It's hot, it's humid, there's mosquitoes, there's dangerous animals.
Anacondas.
You try to forget it, but it's an absolute nightmare. I'm not going to sell it as an enjoyable experience. We're really thankful to do it. And being in the Amazon is amazing. It's absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. And we would never change the last 8 years.
Or even Alberto, you know, getting us to walk in the dark through the jungle in the rain with all our equipment.
Right. Well, okay, I guess we got to wrap. But are you hopeful?
Yes.
I mean,
super excited about being here and, you know, bring attention to the film, and we hope to really make a change.
And hopefully that has a measure of impact.
Yes,
absolutely.
And we have 6 screenings here.
Yeah.
Tonight,
the first screening is tonight?
6 o'clock.
World premiere is tonight, yes, at 6 at the Jero Hotel.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
And the screenings are all podcasted or so, are all on our station website, kpcw.org. So Heidi Brandenburg, Matthew Orzel, and Tyra.
Yes, Tyra.
You're the producer.
Yes.
Matthew and Heidi, the directors of the documentary When Two Worlds Collide. It's in the World Documentary section. You can go there and learn more about it. And tonight is its premiere at 6 at the Yarrow.
Yeah.
And then it's playing at other places around town and down in Salt Lake City. Well, we want to thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Great film. That sounds like a great film. Look forward to seeing that.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. We're at the top of the hour, and we're going to take a break for NPR News. So we're going to send it back to the station for a few minutes, but we'll be back.
Yeah, coming up after the news will be the directors and the producer of the film Slight.
That's right. You're listening to the KPCW Sundance Reel. We'll be back.
Morning Edition is everywhere.
One roof.
Sao Paulo. Beirut.
London. Reporting from bunkers, alleys, jungles, and deserts. But most importantly, we're wherever you are. Start your day with a trip around the world and wake up with Morning Edition from NPR News.
Support for KPCW comes from Park City Live, kicking off this Friday night, January 22nd, with Cage the Elephant. Doors open at 6 p.m. for this early show, starting at 6:30. Located at 427 Main Street, Park City Live ticket information and Cage the Elephant's preview video are online at parkcitylive.net.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-Law.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Right now, we are coming up to National Public Radio News. Thanks for listening. You are listening to KPCW Radio, only in Park City, only on KPCW, KPCW 91.9, 88.1, Park City. National Public Radio News up next.